Welcome to Do You Like Scary Movies? Where we examine all things horrific. Each episode features interviews with those involved in all aspects of horror and the bizarre. Do you like creepy movies, scary books, or horror music? Join us for a look into all of the things that go bump in the night and bring a chill to your spine. Prepare to be scared.
All right, we are back yet one more time, and many to come. But before we do anything major here, introductions are in order. So, with that being said, I am Brian, Rocky Mountain Paranormal Guy, also the co-host of this here podcast, as well as the co-host of the They Did It Conspiracy podcast, and we've got a lot of stuff coming up in the next few months here.
Yes, we do.
So I'll pass it over to you.
And I'm God. No, I'm, exactly. I'm the other guy. I'm Bob, also with Rocky Mountain Paranormal, co-host this. You can find me on YouTube on the Phobophile channel. And most importantly of all, you can go to polymathpress.com. That's my publishing house where you can buy copies of all of my books, including our book, and send us some money to help fund these shenanigans.
This craziness.
Insanity. Yes. Malarkey.
Speaking of shenanigans,
let's shenanigate.
We have a guest. So let's drag him on.
Let's do it.
Okay, here we are with our guest. And I always do this to our guests because I'm that kind of a guy. So we know who you are, but for the people that don't know who you are, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Ben Farthing. I write horror fiction, always supernatural horror fiction. My most popular books recently have been my series of novellas called I Found Horror. That's the biggest one being I Found Puppets Living in My Apartment Walls.
Which already has captured my attention. But I think we also need to tell the listeners the titles of the other ones because, once they hear the titles, they'll understand why.
Yeah, the titles alone will make you buy the book.
So the other ones, the first one that came out was I Found a Circus Tent in the Woods Behind My House. And then I had one come out last December called I Found Christmas Lights Slithering Up My Street. And then there will be one coming out in about a month. I don't know if you can hear my cat introducing himself. The new one that comes out in end of May is called I Found a Lost Hallway in a Dying Mall.
Nice.
I like that.
And the strange thing is, I think all of those things have happened to me.
Well, I was going to say just a weird offshoot here. Years ago, I was leaving. It was first thing in the morning. I'm getting ready to go to work. Kind of foggy outside, still dark. And I see something on the sidewalk. And sitting at the edge of the sidewalk, perfectly centered, is about a 4 foot tall little kid's circus tent. That was the most disturbing thing I have ever witnessed.
Did you peek inside to see what was in it?
I took a picture and I kept on rolling.
Just a family throwing out a toy? Or kids?
I think what had happened is we'd had a storm the night before, and it had a little bit of a flight, and just by absolute pure luck ended up where it did.
So what you're saying is a fell wind blew in a demonic circus tent.
Exactly. Which I'm good with.
So, for those who haven't read your books, could you tell us, I think the titles kind of tell us what they're about, but tell us a little bit about what they're about.
So they all stand alone. They're not related to each other with characters or stories, but they all deal with something strange where it shouldn't be. Confronted by a character who's like already going through maybe like the toughest moment of their life. So for example, the book I Found Puppets Living in My Apartment Walls is about a guy in his early 30s, something like that, whose grandfather has been missing for a year. So he's been declared dead. So he and his cousin go to his grandfather's apartment to clean it out. His grandfather was a puppeteer for an old kids show that has been canceled. And in fact, this very apartment where he is was converted from the TV studio.
Cool.
So the book starts with the puppet standing over his bed, the puppet that his grandfather helped puppeteer, standing over his bed and then disappearing into the wall. So in the morning, he talks to his cousin, convinces her it really happened, and then they find their way into the walls. And then the book is them kind of exploring the spaces inside the walls and then beneath this apartment building. And things get weird, obviously, and then they get more weird. And it's a story about grief and struggling to find the role of nostalgia in your life. And it's a story about puppets that want to eat you.
I think that's all puppets, personally.
Yeah, they're kind of that way.
Oh, yeah. That is my own phobia. That book is based on my own fear.
You would not like my closet.
You know, I can say this. After looking at the titles and kind of hearing you explain these and all this, in the very near future, I'm just hopping on and grabbing all of them because I need to read them.
Yeah, I agree. And on that note, we usually do advertising and things at the end, but what's the best place to get them? Do you sell them directly, or should people just go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, local bookseller?
Amazon's the easiest place. I do have them. I do usually have signed copies on an Etsy store called The Dread Farthing.
That's where I'll go.
That'll be the place to go.
Yeah. And then I'm setting up a site to sell them directly, but I'm not done with it yet. Cool. So yeah, to get a signed copy, it's thedreadfarthing.etsy.com, or just, you know, get your copies from Amazon or wherever. They're also on Audible.
I'm a autographed book kind of person.
That's what I was going to say. If there's an autographed copy available, that's where I'll head for it.
By all means, listeners should do whatever's convenient. Yep. Although Amazon has pissed me off recently, but
they're the evil empire. Yeah, but I'm not going to waste my energy fighting them.
I get it. I own a publishing house that's just starting up, and this is both why I have to do business with them and why they've pissed me off recently.
they're good at that. So, what other books do you have under your belt at this point?
So I have. The first book I wrote, or the first book I published, was called Those Who Dwell Beneath the Sidewalk. And it's about weird cults and monsters in this like society underneath Washington, D.C. So it's sort of almost like an adventure story in a horror world.
Are we talking about the lizard people? You know, Washington, D.C.? I'm sorry?
I'm trying to remember if I put lizard people in this book or not. I spent like a year world building before I started writing that book. I don't think there's any lizard people.
That's probably for the best. If you actually wrote about the lizard people, the lizard people would come and get you.
Yeah. There's a cult that worships the founding fathers. There's a cult that literally burns money for power. There's a cult that worships a god of waste. So it's very DC. It's all there.
I like that.
And then that one follows someone's trying to wake up this ancient evil. And so our main character gets involved when he gets hired / blackmailed into investigating how this is happening or who's doing it. And then after that, I wrote a book called The Piper's Graveyard, which is about Hamlin, West Virginia, or a fictionalized version of the real Hamlin, West Virginia. And a woman goes home to that town to look for her missing sister, and discovers that her sister disappeared while investigating a mysterious radio broadcast that the town's become obsessed with. And the town and slowly discovers that there may have been some sort of dark bargain with the leadership of the town and this whatever's on the radio.
I like it.
And then after that, I wrote a trilogy started with It Waits on the Top Floor. And that is about a skyscraper appearing overnight, and then an eccentric billionaire hires a team to break in to reverse engineer how it happened. And the higher they get, the weirder it gets. And then there's two follow-ups to that.
These all sound like my cup of tea.
Yeah, now I have to read all of them.
I think you're going to be selling some books in the near future.
Absolutely.
That'd be great.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. I just hopped over to the Etsy store because I can't help myself. The magnets are cool.
I got into 3D printing last year, and
worked with some
designers to turn my covers into magnets.
That's fun, and a good idea. I might have to borrow that idea.
Oh yeah, go for it.
Well, no, I think
plenty of talented designers out there.
Yeah, you're definitely your covers kind of lean into that too. So especially the puppets. That one's that one's cute and or disturbing. So what got you into this wonderful field of writing?
Oh, I don't know. I've always been writing. I mean, I remember writing stories, you know, in first grade, writing my own stories featuring Batman and Spider-Man, and then scary stuff. And then somewhere in high school, I started, you know, winning awards and being like, oh, I'm good at this. And I just kept doing it. And I did. So I studied English in my undergrad. A lot of creative writing. I applied to MFA programs, got rejected from all of them. Worked in marketing started a marketing career freelance. So when I did eventually get into an MFA program, I could attend and still pay the bills. Just always been writing.
So have you ever ventured outside of the horror genre, or has it been strictly horror?
No, I moved into horror in the last 5 years or so. Like, I've always been into horror movies. And then maybe in the last 10 years, I started reading more horror. I mean, apart from Stephen King, obviously we've all been reading Stephen King forever. But I started reading more horror and really getting into it. And I wrote the first novel that I finished was a high fantasy novel. It's sort of my own take on the Seven Samurai story. And then I wrote a thriller, and they were, you know, they were fine. They were hard to, took a long time to write them.
I think what you.
And then I had this idea for a horror novel and ran with it, and just realized I'm way more into horror than anything else.
As all the best people are.
Yeah, I started getting serious about publishing. I was thinking, you know, I like urban fantasy, I like horror. So I joined all these Facebook groups for both book genres. Mm-hmm. And I very quickly was like, why is this urban fantasy clogging up my feed? Like, I don't want to read about this. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, no, I'm not going to write this. So.
Yeah, I've nothing against urban fantasy, but we're horror.
Oh, yeah,
people.
A lot of great books, just, you know, not what I turn to the most anymore.
Well, the nice thing is if you're able to write in those other styles, you can always do crossovers too, because horror does such a great mix with everything else.
Including mathematics, as my latest release demonstrates.
You're the only person I know that would mix math and horror. But it works.
And I did.
Sometimes you've just, got to aim outside the box, way outside the box.
You know, if it grabs attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
Worth it.
So, how has it been? I mean, was it something that was really difficult to start getting into and get published, or did you just kind of find your way, stumble into it by accident?
So, I've been working on publishing since I was 20, more or less, so 17 years ago. And I had short story publications over the years, placed in contests and things. Mm-hmm. That was more so. It was like, actually, I think my first short story publication was a horror story. My first couple were. But some fantasy in there and lots of literary fiction. And I started really trying to publish my like fantasy and sci-fi books, or fantasy, urban fantasy books, attending cons and meeting with editors and agents. And I got to the point where my rejections were, I like this, but I can't sell it. And after a while, I was like, well, wait a second. My day job is internet marketing. Like, I can sell things. And so I was like, okay. And because of my day job, like, oh, I've got funds to hire a good editor. I've got funds to hire a good cover artist. I'm going to do it. And while I was thinking about that, I had a friend from one of my workshops just message me out of the blue and say, hey, somebody's putting together, or Kevin Anderson's putting together this story bundle. You should publish this book that I read for you at this workshop and try to get in that story bundle. And there was, and I, that book had been rejected by everybody. So I said, oh, okay, let me jump on that. And of course I didn't make it in time to submit it to that thing, but that was what I published as, Those Who Dwell Below the Sidewalk. And so I published that, and then the next four books, and they, you know, they reached an audience that liked them. They never really took off. And then I woke up one morning, and the title jumped into my head. I found the circus tent in the woods behind my house. And I rolled over and I asked my wife, I was like, can I publish a book with this title? And she said, you can do whatever you put your mind to. So it's just like, yeah, okay, I think this will be a good idea. And it got some traction pretty much right away. And then I entered it in the Facebook group, Books of Horror, did an indie brawl, like a bracket voting challenge. Okay. And I entered it into that, and it made it into the final 32, and didn't make it past the first round, but it got a lot of readers. And right as that challenge actually started, I found Puppets Living in My Apartment Walls came out. And so that took off quite a bit, really fast. So I did some advertising things for it, but it a lot of book talkers and bookstagrammers picked it up and reviewed it, and got a lot of horror readers are into it. And then this crowd of like ARG enthusiasts, like people who are into like Welcome Home and those sorts of like mascot horror and puppet horror and nostalgic, you know, childhood TV horror. It's moved around the various circles. So it's been pretty cool.
I think you made the accidental discovery of if your title is an absolute winner, it's going to sell the book.
That helps. I mean, it still has to be good for it to last, but if you can catch the attention, that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. I spend a lot of time on my titles. That Circus Tent one jumped into my head, but the rest of them, the next ones, I've spent a lot of time.
Yeah, I can tell. I imagine titles have never been my strong point, and I am distraught that I didn't think of your titles first.
My problem when
I write a title,
I have to have a subtitle to go with it. Yeah. I cannot stop myself. I can't just call it this. It's got to be this blah 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 underneath it.
Brian Asman had another one that made me really jealous. He put out a book called Man, Fuck This House.
I own that book. That's great. There's a song called The Ballad of Fuck All, which is like the best song title. And I'm really considering at some point, maybe just like to Patreon subscribers or something, which doesn't exist yet. I'm just hypothesizing it. Mm-hmm. I want to write I Found Fuck All. I don't know what it'll be about, but...
Well, if you do it, it's yours. But if you don't, let me know, and I'll pass it along.
Oh no, that's brilliant! So, are these books that people generally can go find in the stores, or have you been strictly online?
I have been strictly online. The Books of Horror Facebook group is doing that bracket challenge again this year, and I Found Puppets is in it, and they're pushing hard to get like displays in stores. So I hurried and set everything up so bookstores could order it. Mm-hmm. So you can get that one now, and it's on my to-do list to put the rest of them on to publish them in the right way so bookstores can order them more easily.
And even if they can, doesn't mean they're going to is the problem.
Yeah. It's,
If you're not Stephen
King. I mean, I love the bookstore, but I love buying books. I love browsing for books. But in terms of selling books, in-person retail is, it's not, it doesn't do a whole lot until you become as big as like Darcy Coates. So.
Right. I mean, I would love if it were otherwise, because I like the bookstores, but I also understand their business model and they just can't afford to stock everything. There's so much coming out these days. So it's what it is.
Yeah.
I the only reason that I really asked that was I'm wondering how the physical bookstores are doing these days.
They're selling Legos?
Yeah, they have lots of not book knickknacks for sale these days, is what I've seen. Like you say, you can buy Legos, you can buy
board games.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Board games and toys and all sorts of stuff, and they happen to have a few books there.
To their credit, they at least, they're still predominantly books, but I do think a lot of the other stuff is kind of helping keep them alive.
Well, the last time that I went into a physical bookstore, I about passed out because the largest section that I could find in there was teenage paranormal romance. And like, those three words do not belong with each other in any way.
Unfortunately, they seem to.
Yeah, it's a whole genre that I was not prepared for.
My thoughts are, it's probably a good thing that I'm not interested in most of those, because if I read them, I would feel dirty.
Yeah. I was in one, I do.
At least it wasn't a teen one.
That's true. Oh, Harlequin. Strange things. So, what are your next adventures going to be? What can we look forward to?
So I have this one coming out within a few weeks. It's just gone to the proofreader today, actually.
That's exciting.
It's called I Found a Lost Hallway in a Dying Mall. And that's about... I haven't really pitched it yet. I don't have the pitch ready in my head. So it is about... So I wanted to write about somebody who wasn't me, as several of the books, the recent books that I've written, the main characters are, you know, parts of my personality. Mm-hmm. So I wrote about a woman who's in her mid-60s. She lives with her husband. They both work in this mall that's on its way out. And their daughter is about to move out of their home across the state to start a new job. And she's invited the parents to come with her. And the mom is just like, I can't. Like, I want to stay with my daughter and grandson. I want to go with my daughter and grandson. But like, if I leave my home, if I leave my city, if I leave my career, I'm not going to be me anymore. And I'm going to start this shift of being like the matriarch to be taken care of by my daughter. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't want that. And at the same time, she and her husband on their lunchtime walks through this empty mall start to notice these mannequins that weren't there before, which then leads to finding... Or she stumbles upon, in this back hallway, she stumbles upon an old coworker who retired when he got early onset dementia. And so she gets very worried that he's going to feel terrified that he's in this mall. He thinks he's going to work, but no one's in the mall. And it quickly progresses to realizing something very strange is going on with these mannequins that shouldn't be there, with this coworker who needs her help, but seems to be luring her deeper and deeper into these back hallways that she doesn't even remember existing. And then, like most of my books, then it gets weird.
I like the and then it gets weird portion of it.
Yeah. As if the preceding material were perfectly normal.
Yeah, it wasn't normal.
Which in my life is not actually that abnormal, but I am myself weird.
Well, yeah, we're kind of a weird group to have to deal with when it comes to that. So if you're going to sit down and read a book, what authors do you pick from?
I think Ronald Malfi is the best writer in horror today.
Okay.
He's, I think he can paint characters and scenes like nobody else. I wish he got a little more weird than he does, but I've enjoyed every book I've read from him. Adam Neville's book that just came out, All the Fiends of Hell, so good.
I haven't read that one yet, but I've read Neville before.
Yeah, Neville's good. I find myself always recommending these writers who are like more literary than I am, almost, who pay more attention to, or who spend more time on prose and setting scenes and things. And so people ask me for book recommendations, and I'll give them to them, and they're like, "No, I didn't like that." I'm like, "Well, yeah, because you like my books, but I don't write like that." Anyways,
I think a good mix. You've got, something wonderful in literary, like Frankenstein or Dracula or some of the ones you're talking about. But I'm also perfectly happy to read The Haunted Vagina.
I haven't picked up that one yet. Is that Chuck Tingle?
That's Carlton Mellick III.
Oh, okay, okay. Malfi and Neville aren't like on the crazy literary end of horror, but they write pretty sentences. I think Jonathan Janz does a good job of like quality writing, but still 100% focused on story.
Mm-hmm.
His book, The Siren and the Spectre, I read fairly recently and just absolutely loved it. What else have I picked up? Oh, this year I just got obsessed with this collection called Found, an Anthology of Found Footage Horror Stories.
I heard about that one.
It's so good. You've got to check it out. It's like, the first story I didn't actually care for very much. There's a blend of like kind of weird stalker stories, but then you do get a lot of like almost like analog horror of newspaper articles or blog posts or descriptions of YouTube videos about, you know, people stumbling through clips in reality that shouldn't be there, waking up something they shouldn't, and just that very strange what the hell is going on sort of horror that I really did.
Yeah, I was intrigued by that anthology. I need to pick up a copy.
Yeah, it's a cool looking book too. It looks like an old like Memorex VHS box.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, as it should.
Yeah, exactly. Well, found footage, as it would be. Which I'll roll it over that way. If you're sitting down to watch a good horror film, what are your faves?
Right before the call started, I was watching something on Shudder. Passengers, I think. Passengers, something like that, from Spain.
That rings a bell, but I'm blanking on whether I've seen it or just scrolled past it or something.
It's just like a caravan, or an old guy picks up a couple people. He's an Uber driver or something, and then somebody gets poked by something in a meteorite, and then I assume body horror is about to ensue.
Ah, meteor shit! Which is a reference that the younger people might not get, but...
I don't get it. What's that from?
That was Creepshow. Creepshow 1, right?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
That was
okay.
The first one.
It's been a while since I've watched that. Recently, I watched. I went and saw. What's the late night?
Late night
TV show horror movie.
Late night with the devil. Yeah.
Yeah, I went and saw that in theaters. That was fun. It was well made.
Yeah, I liked that one. I have thoughts about the ending, but I'm pretty happy with that movie.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it wasn't like a 10 out of 10, but it wasn't too far away.
Yeah, it could have been, but it didn't quite get there. Still better than most.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's still much better than most of them out there.
And what's the actor's name? David Dalmatian or something? I don't know how to say his last name. He did a great job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Daniel?
The one that impressed me in there was the little girl.
Yeah, yeah.
because she could just snap into character, break that fourth wall, and stare at the audience and give the creeps. It was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, that was really well done. When she even before the creepy stuff, where she just came on the stage and was staring at the camera.
Yeah,
that was like really unnerving.
To me, that was the creepy stuff, because once the stuff really gets started, it's a horror movie.
It's over the top goofy horror film at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
And when that was kind of my thing about it, I wanted it to be more psychological. I wanted them to stop at the beginning of the third act, where you were like, "Did that really happen?
Mm-hmm.
Was it something?" I mean, I'm good with what they did. It was fine, but I really think it would have been much better the other way around.
It was interesting. So normally I'm pretty impatient with movies that don't surprise. And that was definitely a movie where you're like, 20 minutes in, you know what's going to happen, right?
Hell, I knew what was going to happen before the credits started in the beginning.
Yeah. And so it was like, but I felt like they did a really good job of handling that, of playing the, on the suspense that you're feeling.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting approach, because I agree with you. Usually you want it to be unknown, because that's more frightening. Yep. I think what they did was something that most struggle to pull off, which was you do know exactly what's going to happen, and you're just sitting there waiting for the hammer to fall. And I think that's sort of where the suspense was. It's like, you know what's coming.
Well, and you know, from a writing perspective, I was actually talking to a film person this weekend. And the only thing was, for most of the audience, there were all of these wonderful things in the backstory of, you know, the secret society. Basically, you had the
Bohemian Grove.
You had Bohemian Grove in a way. They called it the Grove.
Yeah, but that's Bohemian.
We know it was Bohemian Grove. And, you know, he'd sold his wife's soul, basically, mm-hmm. for all this. But they didn't phone it in well enough for most of the audience to understand what had happened. And I do say,
yeah, I wasn't sure how I didn't think he understood the price that he'd paid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think he understood until the end what he had actually paid. I didn't think he had like purposely sold his wife's soul, but that wasn't on the screen. I don't think they said for sure either way. It was not clear enough.
Although I think the ambiguity is fine with that. I don't think that's a...
Yeah, I shouldn't have said the word enough. It wasn't clear. I think I was okay with the ambiguity.
Yeah, it was good. And that's something I'm really happy with right now, is we do have, at least in the film side of things, a big resurgence in horror, of good horror. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's ever really stopped in books, because...
There's a lot of dreck out there. There's people doing great work.
Too. Exactly. There's always been people doing really good work. And in horror, unless you went to some of the really offshoot, low-budget, independent, foreign, we haven't had some stellar times in the past.
In movies.
Anyway. Yeah. So I think that this resurgence is definitely a good thing. And hopefully it drives the rest of horror.
Hopefully.
I mean, I want people to be interested in, I'd say reading horror. I want people to be interested in reading, let me say that.
Yeah.
That seems...
I think it is taking off. I mean, you know, as much as it's going to, really. I mean, you know, Barnes & Noble added horror sections, 5 years ago or something? And they've stuck around. They're not big, but they're there. So, like, people are reading horror. Obviously, it's still one of the smaller genres. But it's, you know, it's kicking.
Yeah, as long as it keeps going, I'm okay. I would be much happier if everyone were constantly carrying around a horror novel.
But... Exactly. They need to.
Particularly one of mine.
I always have a few in my phone, at least, for, you know, killing time if I'm out and about.
I mean, I kind of hate ebooks, but I agree. I keep a few on my phone.
Well, in case of an emergency,
you
have to have a book everywhere you go.
And usually I have an actual book with me, but I keep a few on my phone.
You know, I've learned to do that, but my problem is if I take a book with me out somewhere and read it, it gets destroyed. And since I'm the signed book collector kind of a guy, I have to, yeah.
Well, that's why you buy two copies, so you can exactly. carry one with you and keep one nice.
I absolutely get that. So, other than going to your Etsy store...
Or Amazon,
or any of that, if people want to see what you're doing, follow you, see what upcoming work you have, how do they keep in touch?
So I'm on Facebook as Author Ben Farthing. I post there a lot, lots of updates. And then I'm also on TikTok, where it's more horror book reviews, but I'm not as consistent and update it, post in there. Facebook's really the place. Author Ben Farthing. I think TikTok is just Ben Farthing. I don't know. You'll find me if you search my name.
I haven't figured out TikTok yet. I'm old.
Yeah, I stumbled around quite a bit.
It reminds me. I had a friend when I think it was Snapchat when that first came out, and I never even downloaded that at all. But a friend of mine, I think it was his daughter or granddaughter or something, said, "You need to get on Snapchat." And he downloaded the app, and he tried to use it, and he said, "I don't understand what any of these hieroglyphics are. I'm too old for this."
Yeah, I've desperately tried to stay in the loop. So,
a few years ago, I was at a horror con walking around, or a book con, and talking to an author. With me and my wife, we're talking to an author, and it was like, "Oh yeah, I'll follow you on Instagram." And I pulled out my phone, and I had recently downloaded Instagram, and I had no idea how to look her up. Even though, like, she told me her username, I'm just like staring at this app. Like, I don't know what to do. My wife took my phone and was like, "Here, I'll do it." It's like, "Oh, okay." Since then, I figured out Instagram and TikTok.
See, this is what this is why I need a wife.
Yeah, I had that happen to me. Something really similar. I was photographing a concert, and one of the people attending comes up to me and she says, "Are you going to be posting your pictures online?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she says, "What's your Instagram handle?" And I was like, "I have no idea." It's like, I know it'll go there because I've got everything linked together, but I don't know. Now I understand what it is and where it is and all of that. But yeah, I agree. It's just like, there's too many things. There's too much social media.
Yeah. Yeah. One of these days, I'm just going to bite the bullet and buy one of those services that manages, not curate your content,
right.
But you write one pushes post and it pushes it out to all the different things. Because I'm old and tired.
Yeah, they're trying to link that stuff together. But I'm looking forward to going and buying several of your books.
Ditto.
And I need magnets, because, darn it.
Yeah, I haven't seen the magnets yet, but I'm going to check those out.
I saw the magnets, and now I need the magnets, because I don't have enough things around the house. I need more. Refrigerator. It isn't decorated yet. It's the only thing in the house. But, no, definitely keep us in the loop with what you have coming out, and we will help you promote this stuff, because we really... Even titles alone, this stuff needs to be read. Just
thank you.
Beautiful work.
Yeah, the stories sound good. I haven't read them yet, but like Brian said, even titles alone, I need to have those on my bookcase.
Absolutely. But
well, hopefully the stories live up to the titles for you.
I think they will. Definitely.
I have strong hope.
Oh yeah. After talking to you, I have a feeling that this is the right direction to go.
I think so.
But we're kind of hitting the top of the hour, so is there any other thing that you'd like to announce, push, let people know that you're doing?
Final words?
Exactly.
I've already talked about my upcoming book, so...
That's the important part.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've hit everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely check out the one that's coming out. I found A Lost Hallway in a Dying Mall, and then also I found Puppets Living in My Apartment Walls is a very kind of personal book to me, not just the phobia of puppets, but the actual dealing with grief and nostalgia, and it was cathartic to write it, and it's connected with a lot of people.
I am looking forward to it.
I will be buying a copy of that in the next half hour.
I will probably be buying it a little bit later because I don't want to do it on my cell phone.
Exactly. But thank you so much for coming on. It was great talking to you. And like I say, let us know if there's anything we can have you back on for. So
yeah, thank you.
Cool. Well, great talking to you, and talk to you next round.
All right.
Bye.
Take care.
He was fun. I want to read his books, all of them.
I agree. Particularly that series that he has with the titles.
The Found.
Yeah, the Circus Tent and the Slithering Christmas Lights and the puppets. And I do have puppets in my closet, by the way.
Ventriloquist?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's acceptable. I almost bought a... what's his name? The ventriloquist.
I'm drawing a blank, but y'all know who we're talking about. Yeah,
and you remember Lester?
Oh, yeah.
I found one of him once, and this close.
I found a screen-used Muppet for auction, but I'm not a wealthy man.
I was about to say that costs more than most homes, probably.
It was Gonzo.
Oh.
It was expensive.
Wow.
He'd been through the ringer. He wasn't clean or anything, but Elon Musk, if you're listening, I need help.
Exactly.
But on that note, I think
we
should get out of here.
That sounds like a deal. All right. Let's
do that.
Do that.
Take care, y'all.